Thank you, worship team. That was great. For those who I haven't met yet or seen tonight, my name is Paul. I live in Stellenbosch. I've been in the ministry there for the past, with Shofar for the past 6 years. And it's really a great blessing to be here with you guys tonight and just to share the word. Let me just see, who's got a desire to know the Lord intimately this year? Amen, that's all of us. That's a good thing. But I've got that desire to be like the disciples who walked with Jesus and then one day he just blew over them. He breathed over them. And I feel like that. I'm just hungry for the Lord's presence and for his spirit. And tonight we're going to do something different. We're going to read scripture in church. So I hope you've got your Bibles. I didn't put it up there because it's way too much to fit on that thing. We would have had 100 slides. I'm serious, we're going to do a lot of scripture reading and then I'm just going to share one little thought with you. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham. We're just reading through the Old Testament since the beginning of the year and it really just touched me how this man had a passion for God and his God's presence and how specifically, he could hear God. Okay, who of you here can just shut your eyes and hear God's voice? We all can. Because God is speaking and he's with us. But we're going just to see a few examples here where, for instance, God speaks to Abraham and Sarah about her child But Sarah's not with God at that stage. She's in the tent and she's laughing. And then God says to Abraham, but why does Sarah laugh? And then she says and said, but I didn't laugh. And then God says, but oh yes, I heard you. You did laugh. So who of us has had a conversation like that with God? It's like amazing. So I'm going, just to read with us. Through a whole lot of scripture, and just I want us as we read for yourself, just see yourself in Abraham's shoes, and then just see how he responds to a word of God, to a promise. God gives him promises, but God gives him commands, and God tests him. And every time Abraham responds, and I want us just to look at that tonight. Like somebody prayed earlier tonight. God wants, we are friends of God. If we do, like Jesus said, we do what he commands us. We're friends of God. God wants us to experience that intimacy with him. Where he leads us day by day. Amen. So we're going to look at this just to see God's communication with Abraham, how sensitive he is to God's voice and his response to it, and his obedience to what God says. So, I'm going to start. I might need this water tonight, definitely. I think it's 100 and odd scriptures that we're going to read. But we can come to church and just read scripture, and that's fine. Amen? It might be a revelation to some of us. So, it's a good thing if you bring your Bible to church. I mean, I'm going to start in Genesis 12, if you can just indicate all the different scriptures. Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and I will make you famous and I will make you a blessing to others. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so if it doesn't correspond with yours. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Okay, now, just remember, this is a guy living in a secular society. He's never heard about God. He didn't go to Bible school. Nobody's preached at him before in his life. There's no scripture. There's nothing. This is how he gets introduced to God. The next scripture says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He grew 75 years old and for the first time heard the voice of God. So in our case, we would have a whole lot of preconceived ideas about things. Okay, so, but scripture says God comes and his first introduction is a command. Leave your country, your relatives, your father's house, and go to the land where I will show you. Okay, so a bit of a challenge. But it says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had immediate obedience. Okay. Implicit obedience on the dot. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I'm going to give this land to your offspring. Now just we must just take this very practically. Okay. This is a guy, he hears a voice. He makes it out to be God's voice. And he leaves his father's house, his relatives. He leaves everything behind, his comfort, and he leaves for a foreign land. He doesn't know where he's going to, but he must just get going. And then the next thing, God appears to him again and says, listen, this land which you're traveling through, I'm going to give all of this to you. It's nice to hear the voice of the Lord like that. Now, I prayed this holidays. Went up to the mountain and prayed and seek the Lord's face. And I did hear his voice once in a while, but not like this. This is amazing. After that, Abraham traveled southward and set up camp. Sorry. After he said, this land I will give to your offspring. And Abraham built an altar there to commemorate the Lord's visit. So he worships. And after that, Abram travels southward and set up camp in the hill country between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Okay. This is just, he's just been introduced to God. Genesis 13. After Lot was gone, the Lord said to Abram, look, as far as you can see in every direction, I'm going to give all this land to you and your offspring as a permanent possession. And I'm going to give you as many descendants like dust, they cannot be counted. Take a walk in every direction and explore the new possessions I'm giving you. Now, to us, if somebody comes with a word like that, that would sound a little bit arrogant. Or where does this guy get his faith from? He's walking and he's just hearing God says, Abraham, this is all yours. And don't worry, I'm going to sort out your children. They'll be godly children. And they will possess this land. One generation after another. Now this is, I don't know how to communicate this, but this is someone who's never heard a sermon on the Father heart of God. On the unconditional love of the Father, whatever. He just receives the word of God in his heart. And I want to challenge you, God wants to speak to us, and we must receive his word. I think during this holiday, the Lord spoke to me twice, and it took faith to receive those words as a word from God. And it will always take faith, because you must, okay, the Lord does teach us to discern between this and that. Abraham didn't have any Saturday workshop on discernment. Nothing. He just had an open heart to receive from God. And he received. And we must just be like children, just receive it. Just, if you go to God, he's going to speak to you. Maybe not the first time, second, the third. He's going to speak, but we won't hear. But we grow to hear. But we must be open to hear, to just receive God's word. Okay? Then in Genesis 14, from verse 14. Then Abraham learned that Lot had been captured. He called together the men born into his household, 380 of them in all. He chased after Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with him in Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night from several directions. Kedorlaomer's army fled, but Abraham chased them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Abraham and his allies recovered everything, the goods that had been taken, Abraham's nephew Lot with his possessions, and all the women and other captives. As Abraham returned from his victory over Kedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom came to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That's the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the priest of the Most God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with his blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Okay, this is somebody that hasn't had a 15-year ministry, international traveling evangelist. This is just the guy that's heard God's voice 3 or 4 times and by faith responded to it. And here somebody, this king, this priest, comes and says, listen, you are blessed of God, Abraham. God, the creator of, has blessed you. And blessed be God Most High, who has helped you conquer your enemies. Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. The king of Sodom told me, give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourselves all the goods you have recovered. Abraham replied, I have solemnly promised the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from you. Otherwise, you may say, I am the one who made Abraham rich. So Abraham had a conversation with God about this recovery of his family and their possessions. You can see this. There was intimate relationship. It says, Lord, I'm going to gather my men and I'm going to go after this guy. But I promise you, if you give me the victory, I won't take any spoil like the guys you usually did. Relationship, understanding, commitment. Then in Genesis 15, verse 1. Afterwards, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him. Okay, now this is different. He's hearing God's voice. Now he's seeing a vision. Now it can be, he can be sleeping and having a dream, or he can just sit and look out the window and realize what God wants to say to him. It's not as if it's a 3D animated thing dropping down. Okay, it is by faith that you see these things. So in a vision he said to him, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Remember the first promise that God gave Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing. You will have descendants like the dust, like the sand, like the stars. Now he says, but God, I don't even have a son. Since I don't have a son, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no children, so one of my servants will have to be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, now listen to this, they're sitting and they're talking about this thing. He's drawing up his will and it needs to go somewhere and there's no son yet, so they're having a conversation. Liberating. Okay. Then the Lord said to him, no, Abraham, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I'm giving you. Then the Lord brought Abraham outside beneath the night sky and told him, look up into the heavens, count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count. Okay, so this is this guy sitting in his tent, on his bed, praying, And he's got this revelation about God that says, Abraham, I'm going to be faithful to my promise. Don't worry about Eliezer. You've got a great heart to somehow bless this guy for serving you. But I am going to give you a son. So this guy is praying, meditating. He's getting up, gets up, walks outside of the tent, looks out. It's an open, starry evening. And he says, yes, there are just millions of stars. That's probably how my descendants are going to look. Thank you, God. You're going to do it. Okay? Thank you, Lord. And Abraham believed God. He had this vision. And he believed it was God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, out of the Chaldeans to give you this land. In other words, there could have still been doubt in Abraham's heart. He believes God for the better. But in him, he's just a human, just like us. Sometimes there's still doubt. God says, listen, Abraham, I know you don't know me that well, but the same guy that's been faithful to you, that's me. Don't get confused. It's not an angel. It's not yourself. It's not your soul. You're not off. Yes, it's me. And that declaration, that faith stance he took, that's me. You can relax. And Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that you will give it to me? Then the Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old deer, a heifer, a three-year-old deer, a female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And then he made a covenant with God. I'm not going to read all that. Then the Lord told Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, and they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. So, God not only shares his promise and the blessing with him, but now God speaks to him about the future. Okay, this is, he's showing him so Abraham can know where to, what to stand in faith for, what to pray for. You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land and they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nations that enslave them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. But you will die in peace in a ripe old age. We're going to read another scripture later on. But what God says is, Abraham, you're going to grow old. You don't have a son yet, but you're going to be old enough to have a son. Just relax. And you're going to die in peace. They are going to see torment and enslavement, but you will die in peace. Now, this is a word that one must take by faith. You must hear God say that to you. And if you receive it, God counts it as righteousness. And it actually becomes the word of God to you. Amen? After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land when the sin of the Amorites has run its course. So God tells him about the sin that will be committed, and then there will be judgment on it, and then everything will. As the sun went down and it became dark, Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. This is still during the covenant. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I've given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land of the Kenites, Kenzanites, Kadamonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Genesis 16. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, had no children. Now this is a typical example of somebody that is serving God and living the dream. He's been faithful for God for probably 25, 30 years, 40 years here. After the promise that he will have a son. But there's no son yet. So his wife bargains. She makes a plan. And he falls for it. But Sarah, Abraham's wife, had no children. So Sarah took a servant, the Egyptian woman named Hagar, and gave it to Abraham so she could bear his children. The Lord has kept me from having children, Sarah said to Abram, go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed. So Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave it to Abram, his wife. This happened 10 years after Abraham had first arrived in the land of Canaan. So approximately 10 years after he received the word, you will have a son. He goes into the flesh. He makes his own plan because nothing has happened yet. Okay, then some time passed. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, okay, so this is a few years later. I am God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Okay, so that's a different word to receive by faith. Abraham, I'm God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And I will make a covenant with you by which I will agree to make you into a great nation. At this, Abraham fell down in the dust. Then God said to him, immediate worship, immediate reaction to God's presence and his word. This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of not just one nation, but a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm chasing your name. It will no longer be Abraham. Now you will be known as Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Kings will be among them. I will continue this everlasting covenant between us, generation after generation. I will continue between me and your offspring forever. It will continue, and I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Yes, I will give you all this land of Canaan to you and to your offspring forever, and it will be their God, and I will be their God. Your part of the agreement, God told Abraham, is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. That's a word by faith. The flesh of his foreskin must be cut off. This will be a sign for you that they have accepted this covenant. Every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to the servants born into your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will thus bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Anyone who refuses to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for violating the covenant. Then God added, regarding Sarah, your wife, Abraham, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarah. From now on, you will call her Sarah. And I will bless her and give her a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings will be among her descendants. Abraham's reaction. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground in worship. But a little bit of unbelief. He laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He wondered. Besides, Sarah is 90. How could she have a baby? And Abraham said to God, yes, may Ishmael enjoy your special blessing. But God replied, Sarah, your wife, will bear your son. I'm not talking about Ishmael. It's going to be your son. And Sarah, your wife, will bear you the son. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my everlasting covenant with him and his descendants. As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. I will cause him to multiply and become a great nation. 12 princes will be among his descendants. But my covenant is with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. That ended this conversation, and God left Abraham. On that day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and every other male in his household and circumcised him, cutting off their foreskins, exactly as God has told him. Implicit obedience, immediately at the word of God. Genesis 18. The Lord appeared again to Abraham while he was camped near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, about noon, as Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent, he suddenly noticed three men standing nearby. He got up and ran to meet them, welcoming them by bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. In Revelations, there's a scripture that says, I'm standing at the door of your heart, knocking. If you open up your heart, I will come in and have a feast with you. And I believe it relates to this scripture. Abraham is sitting in his tent, and the Lord appears to him. And he's got the guts and the discernment to believe it's not men, but God. He runs to them, invites them, pleads with them to stay with him. Rest, my Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while my servants get some water to wash your feet. Let me prepare some food to refresh you. Please stay here a while before continuing on your journey. All right, they said. Do as you have said. So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Abraham, quick, get 3 measures of your best flour and bake some bread. 17 kilograms of flour. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a fat calf and told his servant to hurry and butcher it for 3 guys. When the food was ready, he took some cheese curds and milk and roasted meat and he served it to the men. And they ate. Abraham waited on them there beneath the trees. Then they asked, where is Sarah, your wife? They asked him. In the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, about this time next year, you will return and your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent nearby. And since Abraham and Sarah were both very old and Sarah was long past the age of having children, she laughed silently to herself. How could a worn-out woman like me have a baby, she thought. And when my master, my husband, is also so old. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? About a year from now, just as I told you, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she denied that she laughed. But he said, it is true, you did laugh. Then the men got up from their meal and started on towards Sodom. Abraham then went with her, then part of the way. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. For Abraham will become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I've singled him out so that he might direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord and to do what is right and just. Then I will do for him all that I have promised. So the Lord told Abraham, I've heard that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are extremely evil and everything they do is wicked. I'm going down to see whether or not these reports are true. Then I will know. The 2 other men went on towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham for a while. Amazing, this relationship. The 2 other men went on towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham for a while. And then the whole story about how Abraham intercedes for Sodom, for this sinful nation. God wants to wipe them, and then he starts to intercede, and he gets God to actually spare them. I'm not going to go into all that. He intercedes. He takes the blessing of God and he intercedes for people. Then Genesis 21. Then the Lord did exactly what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and she gave a son to Abraham in his old age. It all happened at the time God had said it would. And Abraham named the son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God has commanded. Obedience. Genesis 22 from verse 1. Later on, God tested Abraham's faith and obedience. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will point out to you. Now, this happens during the night while Abraham is sleeping or he's having his quiet time, and God gives him this blessing for the day, his scripture for the week. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkeys and took 2 of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood to build a fire for the burnt offering and set out for the place where God had told him to go. Okay, and then the whole story about the offering, which we won't read, and then just the last scripture in chapter 22, verse 14. Abraham named the place, the Lord will provide. This name has now become a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Okay, just immediate obedience to the word of God. And then the last bit in Genesis 24 from verse 1. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to the man in charge of his household, who was his oldest servant, "Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not let my son marry one of these local Canaanite women." Why not? Because Abraham was... we'll get to that just now, sorry. "Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But suppose I can't find a young woman who will travel so far from home. May I then take Isaac there to live among their relatives?" In other words, "For the Lord, the God of heaven..." "No," Abraham warned. "Be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my offspring." Not that land where he stays, this land. So his wife can't come here, or he can't go there. She must actually come here, because this is the land God promised me. Amen? He can't go anywhere else. The promises of God is for this place. So as my faithful servant, please make sure that this happens, because God said he would give me not just a son, but descendants, generations that will keep his commands. And for that, we need to stay within the promises and the commands of God. So it's important that Isaac lives here, farms here, marries here, continues with the blessing that God gave me. And he will see to it that you find a young woman there to be my son's wife. Amen. That's the scripture reading for tonight. So now you've got last week's scripture reading up to date. So an hour for every day for the next week, please. I just wanted to read that so that we can see interaction, conversation, but also the different things that blessings, commands, how God tests you, obedience. And then I want to, with all the scriptures in mind, just relate to one remarkable thing about Abraham that I want us, for me anyway, for this year, is that I want to be effective in everything that I do. God, and I believe that is what God wants from all of us. To come into unity. To be a blessing. To be a light on the hill. We must be effective where we are. Every day. Amen? And if we look at the life of Abraham, God gave him a very spiritual, very significant promise, a destiny, a vision. And that was to have a son. Okay? Now to us, it doesn't sound very spiritual. But that was the spiritual legacy Abraham had to leave behind. A son. In the spirit, God wanted him to have godly descendants. He had to have a son. But Abraham lived 100 years before that came to fruition, before he saw his son. But the rest of Abraham's life was effective, was powerful, was amazing. He wasn't just effective in what God called him specifically for. He was effective and successful in everything he did. And I just want us to take a quick look at that. For most of us, and for Abraham, it seemed that most of his life, there was something that blocked or frustrated the calling of God in his life. Who can agree with that? God has given you a dream, a purpose. He's given you a command. He says, this is the word for you. This is what I call you to do. And then nothing happens. Or just the contrary happens. Now that happened for Abraham for 100 years. But that didn't keep him from hearing God's voice intimately, specifically. He had amazing conversation with God, with a whole lot of things, except or besides the fact that he had a son. God spoke to him about looking after his children, looking after his family. God spoke to him about other leaders in the area. We see that Abram was very successful as a businessman. I'll read you a scripture just now, but he, like we said, in his own household, we read in scripture just now, he had 380 people in his household. He had a whole army of his own. He was very rich in cattle and in sheep and in camels. He was a formidable man in every area of his life, not just the area that God specifically called him for. And that is the challenge for us. The fact that he was actually effective and successful in every area of his life didn't influence the spiritual purpose God had for him to be the father of Isaac and the grandfather of Jacob. That was the spiritual purpose God had for him. And in every one of our lives, there's that specific call, that specific place God has got for you. But we all live. God wants us to live effectively and successfully without that hindering the call that God has got in our lives. Amen? Most people, I've just read it from here, most people are successful who are successful in their culture. And if I mean culture, it'll be in the season that you are or in the area of work that you're in, the line of work. Most people who are successful in their culture have lost focus of their spiritual vision. And most people who have a strong spiritual vision are not very successful in operating or functioning in their culture. I don't know, that's just the tendency I see. And I believe God wants to change that. He wants the opposite to be that. He wants us to know the calling that we have on our lives. And he wants us to pursue that. But there will come a time in every one of our lives where that will be happening or the fulfillment of that calling will be stalled for various reasons. Because it's not the right time, because God wants to do something in your life, but the rest of our lives mustn't stop with that. Abraham mastered the economy. He mastered the social structure of the day. He was the leader of leaders. If we read the scripture, he would go into Egypt, and Pharaoh will call on him and want to speak to him. He would go and live with the Philistines, and their king, their leader, Abimelech, he had a relationship with Abraham. Abraham, in his culture, where he lived and operated, was a leader. He was a light on the hill. Okay, he was the inspiration for the Gentiles out there. They feared him and they feared his God. While he was probably a little bit of a frustrated man, waiting for the promise of God to come to fulfillment in his life. But he was successful in every other way. And I believe God we'll have that in all of our lives. And every season, everything that Abraham went through, I believe every season, God wants us to actually use, and that is exactly what Abraham did. God said to him, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and your descendants will be many. Abraham, in that time, in that waiting, actually prepared. He was expectant. He was sitting down and talking about to God about his will. God, who am I going to leave this for? You've blessed me. I've labored. I've been a wise man. I've been faithful in everything. I've given it. I've tithed. I've been a good steward. It can't be for nothing. He had expectation was that something that actually the promise that God is that God gave him was going to happen, and he prepared in the natural for that. And when Isaac got born, he was a rich man. He could go and occupy. He could go and accomplish the promises of God because Abraham, his father, was faithful in the natural. Amen? None of that excellence, none of the excellence that Abraham ever had, it never deflected him. It never took his vision away of the real thing God called him. Although he was very successful. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 46 reads, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. Luke 16, verses 11, therefore, if you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? The trust. Commit to your trust the true riches. God wants us to be successful and effective in every season of our lives. Amen. I just want to read to you from Genesis 26, verses 14. This is just a testimony of Isaac's life. He acquired large flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many servants. Soon the Philistines became jealous of him, and they filled up all of Isaac's wells and with earth. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. And Abimelech asked Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too rich and powerful for me. So Isaac moved to the Gerar Valley and lived there instead. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac renamed them using the names Abraham had given them. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will bless you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshipped the Lord. You see, Isaac lived many years with his father, and he learned to work with his father, and he learned to worship with his father. There is no indication that he actually personally met with God before this. Because when God meets with him, he's got to actually introduce himself. Yes, Isaac, it's me. The same God that your father worshipped. And because of your father's faithfulness, his commitment to the covenant, I will bless you. You will, every promise that I've given him, I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. And he knew, Isaac knew, how to worship God. Abraham left behind a godly offspring, the command and the promise God gave him. But the rest of his life, every area of his life, also represented the presence and a relationship, intimate relationship with God the Father. Amen. And I think that's just what, for me, that's the challenge this year of for our walk with the Lord is. Yeah, to have that, to have God speak directly, specifically into my life, into every area of my life. Because he wants to. He wants to lead us. Okay, so I just wanna make a call on those that want to respond. If you're here tonight and you've got a clear vision about what God wants to do with your life, amen. Praise God, that's a good thing. Amen. And if you are actively following that, pursuing that, great. God's blessing on you and may you hear his voice in every way. But if you are at a place where Abraham was, where there's just no way you're going forward. You're frustrated. It seems like God is just the timing is out. Something is just not happening. Why our youth thought it was supposed to happen. Then I want to challenge you tonight to take this time and to trust God to actually use the season that you're in. The resources that God will give to you in this season, no matter what, whether you are studying, working, whether it's a relationship, God wants to give you the resources in this season to be a blessing in the next. So you can draw on it when you go into the next season. So you might be frustrated in one area, but God wants you to be effective in every other area. Okay. And sometimes it's just that we have to wait on God. But while we wait, we are faithful with where we're at. Okay? We also see in Abraham's life, and we don't have to substitute that excellence, that blessing that God wants to give to us in every life for what he has for us ultimately. We're not going to do that. We still have our focus on God's promise. But we are excellent in what we need to be. I believe we can trust God that we can redeem the time, that we can make every day count. So if you're here tonight, and if everyone can just close your eyes, we can just trust the Lord to move through his Holy Spirit and move on us to respond in the way that we need to. If you're Sarah or like Abraham and it's been years and the promise of God is just not coming to fulfillment and you need encouragement just to stand, then we need to pray. We want to pray with you tonight. And if you're convicted tonight that in the area where you are now, you know it's not ultimately where you need to go, but you also are not functioning there successfully, effectively, then we want to pray with you tonight. And as we read through the scriptures tonight, I believe that God did speak to us about just intimacy and how we hear him and what we hear from him and how we respond to that. And that's intimacy. And if you need to grow in that area, in boldness just to come to the Lord, or in faith, hearing his voice, or actually believe that you're good enough to receive from him. If you need to stand against fear that brings doubt, then we want to pray with you tonight. And if you are here tonight and you've never responded like Abraham responded to God the very first time God spoke to him and called him, if you feel that voice, that drawing of God in your heart tonight, and you've never actually responded to that and say, God, I hear you. I acknowledge your hand in my life, and I want to come and surrender it and walk in obedience following you, then tonight's for you. And we want to pray with you to receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need to respond like Abraham responded, I'm going to close off with a prayer now, and you're welcome to go and have coffee. But if you believe there's something that the Lord needs to settle in your heart tonight, then please come for prayer. We really want to minister for you. And Lord, we just bless you for this evening, Lord. We thank you for your presence that's here with us. And God, that as we go, Lord, we take your blessing with us, Lord. We thank you for a place, Lord, where we can gather and where we can fellowship together, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray for everyone here tonight, Lord. Pray for this week, Lord, that everyone, Lord, will just have that encounter with you, Lord. That we will hear your voice clearly, in Jesus' name. Lord, and we just come and we just unpluck our ears, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you will silence, Lord, all the voices, Lord, all the everything that's screaming, Lord, in our ears, Lord. And pray, Lord, and in this week there'll be grace, Lord, to hear that still small voice, Lord, to see you for who you are, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Pray for a boldness, Lord, to receive your word into our hearts. Believe, God, that you're a good God and that you want to speak to us, Lord. That you want to rule and reign in our lives, Lord. That you want to take us, Lord, to the destiny for the plan that you have for our lives, Lord. That you want to lead us, Lord, as you led Abraham, Lord, in the way that he had to go, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, and I pray for people here tonight, Lord, that's like Abraham and Sarah, Lord. It's been 10 years. It's been a while, Lord. And your promise stands, Lord, but it's frustrating, Lord. I just pray for a grace to stand. For a grace, Lord, to wait, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we, Lord, speak just silence to that doubt and that fear. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we pray for a renewed boldness, Lord, for a renewed faith. Lord, I pray that you indeed will come, Lord, and just breathe on them, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, the Helper, Lord, the Parakletos, in Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, and I want to just bring to you by faith every season that is represented here, Lord. Every school of training, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for a effectiveness, Lord, for a excellence in us that will be a blessing, Lord, and a standard in the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, that we will have understanding, Father God, of the times, that we will know why you are doing what you are doing in our lives, Lord. That we could surrender to it, Lord. Experience you in it, Lord. Experience and receive your reward in it, Lord. That you will give us the wisdom to leverage this time, Lord. To leverage the resources, God. So that we can see your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, like the wells that Abraham had to dig, Lord. The flocks, Lord, that he had to build up, Lord. Lord, that you will open our eyes to the seasons that we're in. Lord, and that we will leave these seasons fulfilled. In Jesus' name, Father God. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you birth vision, Lord. In Jesus' name. That you, we just speak life, Lord, over those seeds of destiny that you've planted in lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you, Lord. I pray your protection and your blessing and your provision, Lord. Pray that you will multiply grace over everyone here this week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.